gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Thursday, January 8th, 2026 edition. Second hour here on this absolutely fabulous Thursday. Sunny, blue skies, absolutely gorgeous out there. Looks like it's going to melt a little bit of the snow, but winter is going to be coming back next week. We're going to be in the mid-20s here in a couple of days, so enjoy it while you can. Well, Kristi Noem flat out said this anti-ICE rhetoric has got to stop. 99 vehicle attacks against federal law enforcement. Vehicle attacks against ICE, 28. These attacks by vehicles is absolutely a strategy that is being employed and being perhaps promoted with some of these protesting groups. And it's got to stop. Flat out has got to stop. Now, a crowd is gathering outside the federal buildings in Minneapolis, and there appears to be some guardsmen. I can't see actually from the news clip them identified as Minnesota National Guard. The jackets on some of these officers say police. I don't know if that's military police. I don't know exactly who they are, but they are standing outside protecting the federal building from the protesters. They're not engaged. They're not fighting ICE. They're actually protecting the building. And the protesters see that every single one of these people are holding a rifle. This is serious stuff, folks. They're not just standing there with their handguns holstered. A lot of these guys, almost every single one of them I'm seeing in this news story right now, are carrying rifles. So now we got these liberal women out there shouting and arguing, saying stuff toward these guys, but from a distance. They're not up in their face in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because they're outnumbered. I mean, this is huge. And just so you guys know, 9 o'clock tonight, President Donald Trump is going to do a sit-down exclusive interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News at 9 p.m. tonight. I'm sure he's going to be talking about Minnesota, Minneapolis. I'm sure he's going to be talking about Venezuela. I'm sure he's going to be talking about all kinds of things currently happening. And Donald Trump trusts Sean Hannity to do a fair interview and has granted him an exclusive sit down to basically address the nation at 9 o'clock tonight. So very, very interesting development happening right now, Minneapolis, as well as tonight at 9 o'clock. And the vice president, J.D. Vance, put a post out on Twitter. We're going to have it for you here after the break. Republicans are rallying behind law enforcement officers. Actually, I've got time right now. J.D. Vance, I want every ICE officer to know that their president, vice president, and this entire administration stands behind them. To the radicals assaulting them, doxing them, threatening them, congratulations. We're going to work even harder to enforce the law. Vice President J.D. Vance on Twitter X.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky. There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two. Moving on now to Lansing. No surprise here, but yesterday, Attorney General Dana Nessel gave a written opinion. She was asked by the Democrats, and I'm sure by Governor Whitmer, to give an opinion about the law that the Republican-led House Appropriations Committee used to deny $645 million in carryover funding from the prior fiscal year's budget to pay for work projects. $2.7 billion left over. Well, they had plans to spend all of it. Well, the House Republicans found a law that said either chamber, the House or the Senate, could vote to not spend the money. And that's the law they used. Well, the Democrats asked Attorney General Dana Nessel for an opinion. Her opinion claims that the law they used was unconstitutional. Of course she did. Well, Nessel's, the Attorney General's opinion has the full force of law unless a court overturns it. House Speaker Matt Hall, Republican Richland Township, said he plans to sue to preserve what he's called many times his favorite law. Deputy Budget Director Kyle Garant alerted department heads within a half hour after Nessel's press release that it agrees with the Attorney General. He said the departments can fund the denied work projects as long as officials take the proper procedural steps. Nessel, in her 29-page opinion, stated that the law empowering a single legislative committee to negate the state budget director's work project designation creates a legislative committee veto that unconstitutionally interferes with the executive branch's core function of executing the laws. Nessel said that under the Constitution, quote, when an appropriation is enacted, the legislature's role ends, and then it is the executive branch's duty to faithfully execute the law. Nessel's formal opinion, which comes in response to Senate Appropriation Chair Sarah Anthony, Democrat of Lansing's request following a December vote from the House Appropriations Committee to disapprove nearly $645 million in state funding that had already been enacted into law, held that the disapproval mechanism allowing one legislative committee to unilaterally terminate funding previously appropriated by the full legislature and the governor is unconstitutional. Governor Gretchen Whitmer also arguably expressed concern in a letter about the committee's unilateral stripping away previously authorized appropriations. She wrote that letter, came out on December 29th. Anthony called the Attorney General's opinion a lifeline for countless nonprofit organizations and local governments that have been left in the limbo for weeks. Well, Republican House Speaker Matt Hall called the opinion a rigged political decision from the Attorney General. He promised legal action, saying in a statement yesterday afternoon, we are going to sue. Michigan taxpayers need someone to fight for them and stop this absurd and incorrect interpretation of Michigan law. And we'll win this case very easily because Dana Nessel always loses in court. And Hall emphasized that word always, because MERS actually put it in all caps and underlined it. Here's the law that's in question. Michigan Compiled Law MCL 18.1451A subsection 3, contained in the Management and Budget Act where they, the statute allows them, the committee approved by the legislature and the governor for a prior fiscal year to continue to be used for its intended purpose for the new fiscal year. However, and this is the part that is what the Republicans are relying on, if an appropriations committee or subcommittee disagrees with the use of the funds, they may choose to not allow it to go forward, end quote, says the statute. Now, the state budget director, who oversees spending for the state on behalf of the executive branch, is allowed to approve this continued use of previously approved funding for these quote-unquote work projects. The same statute also authorizes either the Senate or House Appropriation Committees acting alone to disapprove those work projects. Previous paragraph was the actual statute, the wording itself. Well, the Attorney General concluded that this disapproval mechanism violates the separations of powers. Bicameralism and presentment requirements in the Michigan Constitution. The latter requirements reflect the constitutional mandate that laws must be debated and passed by both houses of the legislature, presented to and then signed by the governor. Nestle also concluded that the unconstitutional legislative committee veto disapproval mechanism is severable, you can separate it from the rest of the MCL 18.1451A. Subsection 3 is where the disapproval is stated. Therefore, the remaining portions of the statute pertaining to work projects, including the director's authority to designate work projects with temporal limits, substantive criteria, and reporting requirements, while they all remain intact and enforceable. Democrats House Minority Leader Rajiv Puri, Democrat from Canton, described the House Republicans' rejected work project denials as another losing attempt by Republicans, by this washed-up speaker, to grab more power. Washed-up speaker? Okay. Fury added that this is an on-brand for a man so self-obsessed that he's bragging about naming a bill after himself while doing nothing to make groceries or health insurance more affordable. Oh, here we go. Affordability. Groceries and health insurance. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brinks, the Democrat in the Senate side, reacted by saying she's not surprised that Republicans' heinous attempt to steal money from the people of Michigan was unconstitutional. When they can't win in the Capitol, they try to bend the rules or even break the law, hoping that no one notices. But this time, the people noticed. Okay, first of all, the Republicans are not stealing money away from the people of Michigan. As a matter of fact, they're saving us money by not spending it on these obvious partisan pet projects. Well, in response to the Senate Majority Leader, House Appropriations Committee Vice Chair Matt Maddock said drunk Dana, quote-unquote, referring to the Attorney General when she was drunk at a University of Michigan football game, so intoxicated they had to take her out by wheelchair. She couldn't even walk. Drunk Dana is pretending the legislature surrenders its authority the moment a budget is signed. It did not. The work project statute is a conditional appropriation framework. This is not a legislative veto. Under Nestle's trashy zine, the governor alone decides when taxpayer money stops being subject to legislative control. This is not separations of powers. It's theft of appropriations in the process from the people's elected representatives to the governor. Good statement. And one of the things that this is triggering is another lawsuit. Right now, I have a list of all the pending lawsuits actively ongoing in Michigan right now. Legislatively, executive branch, legislative branch, all kinds of things that's happening. 17 pending lawsuits. This one is number 18. Gridlock produced the fewest number of public acts in the history of our state. The very first year we were a state, back in 1837, we passed 90 public acts, and they were signed into law. This past year, 2025, 74. And now the House is suing the Attorney General in her opinion. Unbelievable. So, again, we'll put it on the list and we'll continue to follow it. And again, I don't understand where they're getting off saying that the Republicans are stealing the money. They're not. It's leftover funds from last year's budget. $2.7 billion in excess taxes that they took from us, the people of the state of Michigan, that they want to spend on work projects. Actually, I'm kind of ticked off that the Republicans could only say no to $645 million. They still allowed over $2 billion to be spent. That's our money. So we'll follow this. We'll continue to see where this goes. Real short story we'll throw in real quick. Benton Harbor settles a lawsuit over lead in their water for $25 million. The city of Benton Harbor reached a $25 million settlement in a civil lawsuit over elevated lead levels in water from August 2018 to November of 2021. The proposed consent judgment needs a U.S. District Court judge's approval, the city insurance company to pay the judgment because the city has no money to pay the judgment, according to a court filing. This is going to have to be paid by their insurance company. The only way the city could raise the money to do it, if permitted by state law, would be to impose additional taxes on their residents, said the final statement of the consent judgment. Bottom of the hour news break of hour number two. We'll be right back.